We're in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And we'll read all five verses together. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. Ready? Begin. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And let's pray this evening. Father, thank you so much for bringing us back tonight and giving us the opportunity to hear again from thy word. Help us to take wonderful care of this opportunity and help us to respond. Just looking at the verses here, I believe it's going to be another good sermon. I pray that we would be all ears, and that we would respond according to the Holy Spirit. Be with our pastor, fill him with your power, and be with the congregation, be with our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
All right, thank you for that, Ryan. We are in 2 Timothy tonight. One of the things that frustrates me, and I'm sure it frustrates you in a relationship, is when you are having a conversation with somebody and you can tell that they're not listening. How many of you ever had that happen to you? When I was in Bible college, I worked with a friend of mine, and we worked Monday through Friday together, and then we worked together doing security. So we were constantly with each other, and we would be driving the car, and we'd be talking to each other, and we'd tell stories and talk, and I would talk to him. As soon as I get done talking to him, he would totally start a whole brand new conversation. And so you spend enough time with someone, you almost start to act like husband and wife. We were just friends. And I'm like, you irritate me. He goes, why? I'm like, you don't listen to me. I don't even know you anymore. Just kidding. I'm like, you're not even listening. And he goes, yes, I am. I'm like, no, you're not. Every time I talk to you, as soon as I'm done, you totally go a different direction. You didn't hear a word I said. He goes, yes, I did. I said, tell me exactly what I just said. And sure enough, he told me everything verbatim. I'm like, well, at least you could do is act like you're listening to me, okay? But we've all had conversations like that. You're talking to someone, and you can tell they've zoned you out. By the way, you know how you tell if they've zoned you out? Say something totally ridiculous. I've told my wife before, we're talking, and she's thinking about something. I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. So, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. But it's frustrating. Now, it's even sadder still when Christians don't listen to the truth that God is trying to get to them. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see that 2 Timothy is the last book, the last bit of scripture that Timothy read. It's his last chapter. Shortly after this, history tells us that Timothy was martyred for his faith. Paul knew his time was coming. Several times he had written about, you know, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith, and so forth. He knew he was getting towards the end of his life. And so God used this last writing to kind of leave us some very important instructions. Someone's last words are very important. They tend to carry a little bit more weight. And here God allows Timothy to write the last thing he's going to write, and he writes some very important instructions. Paul's last instructions have to do with the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. Why is that important? Because the Word of God, the truth of God, has everything to do and is the most important thing for the child of God. We need God's truth. We need God's Word. This passage, he deals with the truth or the Word of God. He deals with the preaching of the Word of God. And really, what we're going to focus in on and what he focuses in on, how Christians respond to that truth that they are receiving. It's very important. For the most part, the problem that we have in our life really doesn't have to do with the truth or, in most cases, the truth that you're being taught. The problem has to do in how Christians respond to that truth. Fact of the matter is, the problem with he's pointing out here, and the problem that we really see in our times, and really you could look back probably all time, is people just don't want to listen. They just don't want to get it. Now, before we get into this, I want us to understand there's a huge difference between hearing and listening. Hearing means I heard, I physically heard what you said. Listening means I comprehend what you say. I'm taking it to heart. In a spiritual sense, there's a huge difference. Hearing means I know what God says. Listening means I'm hearing what God says because I want to do what God says. There's a big difference here. Fact of the matter is, if we were to look at it, most Christians hear, but very few Christians listened. Heard a story about a man. He had a visiting evangelist in his church, and they were in the auditorium, and he pointed to the doors. He goes, "You know, I call those the erasers." The evangelist said, "Why do you call those erasers? The doors, you call them erasers?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Because it seems to me, for the average Christian, as soon as they walk through those doors, it's like the doors erase everything that they heard in the service." Fact is, that's sad to say, but it's true. Tonight, I want to ask you a question regarding God's word, God's truth, whether you read it or whether it's taught to you. Are you listening? Do you really listen to what God is saying? Not just putting our time in. Not just, I was at church tonight. There was a message. And I hope that you tell a funny story. Did you hear any truth from the scripture? And are you truly listening? There are five underlying principles related to listening to God's truth. Primarily, this section is talking about preaching, but we'll throw in the scriptures also, your reading, that we need to understand. First of all, I want you to see in verse 1, there's a requirement to comprehend. Look at verse 1. Paul says, "I charge thee." Charge means to earnestly testify, to cause somebody to believe something. Paul, what he's really saying is, I want you to get this, and this is serious, and I really want you to understand what I'm saying here. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Typically, when there's a charge, we're trying to tell you something, so he's trying to tell us something, so we'll listen and we'll hear it and we'll do what it says because it's very, very, very important. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Now, he's going to tell us what he's charging him, but here he's telling him why what he's going to say is so important. Why should he listen to this? Why is this a vital truth? Because one day, everybody is going to stand before God. We're all going to be judged. We're all going to be accountable. Now, I understand in the context here, he's talking to Timothy about his responsibility to preach. And he's charging him, saying, now, we'll stand before God. And by the way, I'll stand before God for what I say. And by the way, that is terrifying. But you know what? It keeps you on line to stay with the truth. It keeps you online to not just get off into some nonsense or some little pet peeve here or something that sounds comfortable and doesn't cause issues. And that's fine. And we don't try to cause issues to cause issues. But the fact of the matter is, I'm responsible. And anybody that teaches a Sunday school class in our church or steps behind this pulpit is responsible before God to tell the truth. To preach the truth, not what makes people happy, not what will not offend somebody. And I understand some people, they're trying to be offensive. And they offend you and it has nothing to do with the truth. We're not talking about that. Now, but it's also true that as we preach the word, those here who also hear it are going to be responsible for the truth. If you read the Bible, you will be responsible for what you read in the truth. When we preach, we're trying to prepare people, including myself, for that time when we will stand before God. It's for the one who preaches the word of God, but it's also for one who hears the truth of God. We are responsible. Let me just say this before we move on. That is why we must not just take God's truth seriously, we must take church seriously. Church is not just some spiritual social club. And by the way, I am all for fellowship. I'm all for it, okay? You're going to come to a Friday night at my house, and you're going to come to a Monday night fellowship once each time. I'm going to be doing it every day, every week, okay? Because I enjoy that. I like being with the church people. But can I just tell you something? If all we're going to have is a social club, let's just shut this down and do something else. It's not a social club. We're trying to build up and edify and encourage and build spiritual relationships so we can get out there and we can do the work. Amen. That's just part of it. Exhorting one another. Pay attention when we're in the services. And I know it's difficult outside, and soon, it's going to be done. We just signed off Thursday night. The extra money's coming. We're going to be in that building soon. But church is important. Let's pay attention when we're here. By the way, bring a Bible. Okay, this is not some philosophical club. We're going to come and tell you something I heard on Dr. Phil. I'm not going to do that. I don't listen to Dr. Phil. Okay, I want to listen to Scripture. I want to listen to what God says. And I hope that you want to do that also. Let's make sure we attend the service faithfully. And I know over the course of the summer that it can be a struggle. By the way, stay in the habit. Don't let just because the sun's out and the kids are out of school doesn't mean we're less faithful to church. All right, let's be more faithful. And I hope you'll join us, and even on Tuesday nights out getting the gospel, let's take the service. By the way, and I mentioned this morning, when we miss a service, we are teaching our family that church is just not that important. We can get up, it's like, you know, like I mentioned how back in the day, you know, when I was growing up, everybody smoked, and, you know, parents would smoke and tell their kids, now, son, don't you smoke. It's like, that doesn't work when you got a cigarette dangling from your lips. But you can get up and tell your kids church is important, but if we're missing church at the drop of a hat, they're not listening. They're hearing what you're doing. So let's be faithful. And you are. You're Sunday night. Let's make sure church is important. And when you listen, let's listen to something that maybe God would point out to. And I know most of the truth we hear is not something new. But you know, sometimes we just need a little touch right there to remind us of something. When we come down the altar, it doesn't mean we're wicked sinners. It just means, hey, God kind of pointed out something there, and I want to kind of make sure that I'm staying on board with that in my life. How we respond to the word of God determines how we live for God and what we will do for God. So it's very important. Secondly, we have a responsibility. There's a responsibility to proclaim. Look at verse 2. Here's the main thing he's telling Timothy. Preach the word. Now look, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes in our circles, we get too stuck on the word preach. Right? We forget the other two words, the word, okay? And we want to get up and yell and scream and have a good time. When I was in Bible college, that's all my brethren wanted. I want to preach. They want to get up and yell at people, okay? That's not preaching. Preach the word. That's very important. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season. Be instant out of, he said, look, be ready all the time. Be ready when you get up and you're ready to preach and everything's great. Also get up and be ready to preach when things don't seem to be going well. Just preach the word. Always be ready, no matter what's going on, to preach the word. Then he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You see, there's a balance to the truth. And all of us need to, in our life, embrace all of it. You know, some of us, your favorite story is Jesus going into the temple and kicking the tables over and chasing out the money changers. I kind of like that story too. You know, you like the story of Nehemiah where the people weren't living for God and he slapped them and he hit them and he pulled their hair out. I kind of like that too. Others, you know, you like the go and sin no more. You know, just shall live by faith. Listen, we don't have to choose between all of it. We ought to love all the Bible. It's all important. And that's the responsibility. Sometimes churches are out of balance in these areas. They focus on one thing. I've been to churches and heard messages where they can constantly make anything sound like drudgery and discouragement. It's like, you know, salvation. That's a good thing. You know, they make prayer sound like a 5-year sentence. And then I've been to other things where they make everything sound honky dory, and there's nothing we have to deal with. No, the Bible is a very balanced book. And we need all of it, and we need it all in the proper perspective. He mentions four things. We need to reprove. Reprove means to find fault with and convict, to refute. You come to church sometimes and you may hear something, it's like, that goes against my grain. Can I just tell you something? It goes against mine also. But I'll just be honest. We all need that. We all need to be convicted of things in our life that just are not right. And by the way, if you're not going to hear it at church, where are you going to hear it? The reason our society is going down the tubes is, and I could give you all the other things that irritate me, and you know, the politics, whatever. But I'll tell you why, because churches don't preach the truth anymore. They don't. They're more interested in being hip and cool, engaging with the culture. No, they want to be a part of the culture. Okay? The culture needs to be rebuked. The culture needs to be reproved. There's got to be a place where you come and say, listen, this is what our world is pushing, and it's a completely, completely opposite of what God says. Well, I don't want to hear it. Don't read your Bible. We have to hear that. That's the job. Doesn't the Bible say judge not? It does. But Jesus said, the words that I say, they judge you. If I get up and say, you're dumb, in some cases that might be true. I wouldn't say that. You know, if it's something that I don't like, maybe that's true. But if it's something Scripture specifically points to, that's not judging. That's called truth. And we ought to get in line with it. Reprove. Rebuke. Rebuke means to find fault, to charge sharply or severely. Now, our type of church, people don't like the passion we sometimes preach with. Right? Look, if you're hoping that you come in and I have a Hawaiian shirt on, and like, hey, dude, we're just going to share, man. You know, Jesus really loves you and everything. And like, I was just doing something. It was just so cool, man. We're not doing that. Okay? I think there ought to be a respect for the Word of God. I think there ought to be a respect for church. But you know what? The Bible, it just has stuff in there we've got to deal with. Are you saying I'm a bad person? Yes. And I'm a bad person inherently, but guess what? I'm saved now. I got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me, and so God wants me to know those bad things so that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can correct those things in my life. Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be better Christians? I'm not into putting my time in. I'm not. Now, we'll get to long-suffering because that's really helped me in the ministry. But you know, it's like, look, let's just, what are we here for? Yes, I'm here because I love being with the church people. Yes, I'm here because I love singing the songs and I love being around you and I love trying to minister and reach people with the gospel. But also, I hope we're here to go forward. I hope we're here to hear something from the Word of God that maybe my life's not lined up with. It's like, I got to take a left turn. I got to get going here. Rebuke. You say, man, I don't like it when things bother me, when I hear a truth and it's like, oh, that bothers me. Don't let that bother you. Here's when you should be bothered. When nothing bothers you. You're either one of two things. You're either perfect, or you are so far away from God that you can't hear the Spirit of God talk to you anymore. I know you're not perfect because I can talk to your spouse and they'll tell me. Yeah, well, she would have told me. The problem is, we'll get to it, we just don't want to hear it anymore. Now, also we're to exhort. You know what this means? To call to one side to encourage. If all God's truth only focused on the first two, then we would be discouraged every single time when we're leaving church. But you know, the reason that God wants us to understand areas in our life where maybe we're out of line is because then there's places in the Bible where he encourages us to get back in line. And he empowers us to get back in line. And by the way, that ought to be our job. By the way, let me just say this before we move on. I don't like spiritual police. Okay? We want to stand for the faith, but we can't encourage the new brethren. Okay, there is a word there that none of us are going to like, but he says we're supposed to do this with all long suffering. That means patience. I'll say this, sometimes the more someone stands for the truth, the less patient they can be with Christians, new Christians. It's not your job to be the spiritual police. Encourage people. Look, if someone comes and like, man, I'm struggling with this, like Mary, it's like, yep, you're right, that is full-blown sin. Okay, I'm pretty sure that's why they came to us. If every time someone came to my office, I'm struggling with something, I'm like, yep, that's sin. That's like going to the doctor and he says, doctor, here's my problem. Yep, you're sick. Wonderful, thanks for sharing. You know what we need? You can get better. That's not fatal. All you gotta do is line up with God and get in his word and we're here. Let's pray about this and let's get going. You can make it. Let me be real honest here. I really am one of these. I stand for God. I'm making my righteous statement. Well, let me ask you this. Who have you helped? And I'm not throwing it out there. If you're not willing to stand next to somebody and help them, don't walk around here pointing out things to people. Don't walk around here looking down at people. And if someone does that, let me explain that to you. That's not me. That's not us. Okay? Now sometimes they say, well, you know, but you stand up in the pulpit and you say, I got to say what God says, but I'll say it on the flip side. You can make it. You can make it. None of us have to be stuck in a sin. We don't have to. We can have victory. Exhortation. Lastly, he mentions doctrine. To teach or instruct. This is the reasoning behind what we are to believe. It's a reasoning. Look, there's a reason for some of the things we do or we don't like to do. And by the way, you know, I'll say this, and you are the Sunday night crowd, but, you know, if you're in ministry here, we have standards you're supposed to keep if you're in ministry. You say, I don't want to do that. Listen, you're not a bad person. I'm not against you, but you just can't be in ministry. If you're a Sunday school teacher, there's certain things we expect you to do. You say, I love the church. I just can't do those things. Fine, but don't be a Sunday school teacher. If you're in choir, there's certain things we want you to do. I don't want to hear someone say, I saw one of your choir members out doing this. Okay? And I'm all for that. But we have to understand why we believe those things, because they're in the scriptures. We're not trying to beat you over the head with it. Look, if all of us are where we're supposed to be, we wouldn't need church. But we're constantly on that. And people are at different levels. Accept everybody for where they're at. I am so thankful when I walked into church, I did not look like I had a heart for God. I did not look like I was interested in God. I looked like a punky teenager that was there to cause trouble. But thank God, not one person in the church said anything to me. Thank God when people did say something to me, they encouraged me. Hey, you've been coming a little while. Why don't we go do this or get involved with this? I'm thankful for that. And we need a lot more of that around here. We took down one of our banners because we didn't have time. That's our theme right there, reaching them, teaching them. Don't just go out and share the gospel and get people saved. Why don't we encourage people that have been saved? Let's teach them. But anyhow, back to the subject at hand. That's the point. That's the truth we're supposed to preach. Now here's where it gets a little dicey. Thirdly, I want us to see the replacement of teaching. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. No, those who are listening. In fact, the matter is the preachers also. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Paul said, there's a time coming in the future. Now, I don't think it was very far down the line, and it came. But as time has traveled on, and as we get closer to the end times, and there's other scriptures we could look at, this is getting worse and worse and worse. Fact of the matter is, we have more bigger churches, what you want to call mega churches in this country than we have ever had, and our country is worse. Three of the largest churches in this country are in the city of Houston, Texas, and they were the first city to elect an openly homosexual mayor. I'm just telling you. You know why? Because they're a church and they don't know nothing about what they believe. They have some guy that gets up and tickles their ears and doesn't preach the truth and is afraid to offend people. It's a problem. We're there. They will not endure sound doctrine. People just want enough of Christianity to soothe their conscience, so they just attend church. They don't want to hear something that will dramatically change their life and transform them to become more like Christ. And after all, that's what God tells us. What's the problem? What are they doing with replacing? They're not enduring. They don't endure sound doctrine. Sound means healthy, free from mixture of error. In other words, most Christians will not put up with truth from error that would make them mature, healthy believers. We want to hear something cute. We want to hear something that never has a point to it, that is never specific. Well, that's not preaching the word. Sometimes people say things like, well, you know, where's all this? And I'm like, brother, have you ever read the New Testament? Where did you get that from? Have you even cracked open a Bible? You cannot read the Bible and come away and say we have to be like the culture to reach the culture. You can't. Where did you get that from? Oh, we got to understand the missionaries understand their culture, so they know how to speak the language, so they know what food to eat, not so they go to their demon festivals. I'm pretty sure our team in Cambodia knows the Cambodian culture, but they don't go to their pagan festivals. Pretty sure of that. And if they do, they're there to preach the gospel. They want them to know that there is something different between Christianity and what has happened to their country because of Buddhism. There's difference. But we think that we can do that. People won't endure. They don't want to hear it. I've said this many times, and you ought to memorize it. A man's morality usually dictates his theology. In other words, what someone believes about God is usually determined by the life they want to live. I want to live this way, so what I believe in God's got to match up with that. Fact of the matter is, that needs to be flipped. A man's morality ought to be dictated by his theology. What does God say? My life better. Well, I came into the church, man. It was like they were saying all kinds of things. And I'm like, my life is nowhere near that. I've got to make some changes. And praise God, I did. And I still am. And I'm not there. So they don't endure. And then they do indulge themselves. But after their own, what's that word? Lust. Lust simply means desire. They heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They indulge in two things: teaching that caters to their selfish or sinful desires. I'll come to church, I'll give, but don't ask me to be committed. Don't ask me to make a change. And don't you dare say something that goes against what I want to do in my life. Isn't that what the Bible does on a regular basis? Doesn't he tell us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Shouldn't we hear things that, I don't know about you, don't you want to be different? As you look at our world, and it's getting darker and darker and darker, and I'm not saying that to be negative, because the darker the world gets, the lighter the light can shine. But do you understand the progression here? What's the deal? Why would we want to be like that? Man, God offers something so much better. One of the motivations ought to be to see people saved is so they get saved and their eternities change, but also that God does something great in their life so that they can experience something better than what's going on in their life right now. That's what the Bible offers. But it's not going to happen when we're trying to line people up that we just hear what we want to hear. So they want teaching that caters to their selfish or sinful desires, and they want teachers that avoid truth that conflicts with their desires. They just don't want to hear it. By the way, can I tell you something? These guys are all over the place. They're everywhere. And by the way, turn on Christian radio. You'll hear them. They are slick. They're communicators. La-di-da. By the way, they won't say bad things either. Fact of the matter is you can listen to, now they'll usually, something will come out that's like, seriously? That's nonsense. But, oh, they're teaching the Bible. They never say anything that conflicts. Why? Because donations won't come in. And they know what people want to hear, so they won't say it. It needs to be said. By the way, I see guys on their social media, and you know, they'll like some quote or retweet what someone said, and I'm like, do you know what that guy's doctrine is? Our guys. And we wonder why our type of guys are changing their churches. They want to bring in all the nonsense and have the five people up here leading singing, and girls are wearing pants so tight that it's like there's nothing left of the imagination, and it's nothing but a moral show. They got their, we're not going there. Let me just read, we're not going there. But they're getting it from the people they're listening to. Oh, it sounds good. They just, you know, I'm passionate about Jesus, but that phrase is starting to get on my nerves because they don't even know what it means. I'm just passionate about Jesus. Well, so are we, but quit living like you're passionate for Satan. Okay? I don't follow a lot of people on social media because I don't want to get a bad attitude. But I have seen something, I'm passionate about Jesus, and the next phrase is something Jesus would have nothing to do with. It's like, it'd be nice if your little statement matched up with your pictures or your quotes. Amen. I'm passionate about Jesus. You like your friend's little thing, and it's like garbage. That was free. But they want someone that's going to itch their ears. This is what I want. So, oh yeah, that feels good. You know, like a dog. If you itch a dog in a certain place, their leg starts going. It's like, that's the spot. That's what we want. You say, what does that have to do with us? We're in a good church. You want that too, some of you. You want your little stamp of approval on what you're going to do in your own life, and you don't want anybody to upset that cart. And I've mentioned it before, and I'm saying this. Look, if you want a counsel or you want advice, I'm not God. I don't tell people what to do. I don't. But some of you do need to ask some questions. But don't come in if you're going to tell me what you're doing. I'll pray for you. I love you. But don't just, I don't need information. I got other things I can do. You know, well, okay, pastor. No. I'm the pastor of the church you go to. I'm not your pastor. In fact, I feel like saying that sometimes to people. Don't call me pastor because I'm not your pastor. You got your own thing set out there. And I'm not God. You know me. I've never told you, yeah, you got to go to the other side of the world. Man, you better make sure God call you the other side of the world. Now, if God called you there, I'll help you get there, but I'm not going to send you there. I'll pray with you about it. But see, we want to do our own thing. And so we want to find somebody, and he's usually a buddy, that tells us what to do. You know, we don't want to hear it. And by the way, it's very important because when we get to that point, we're going to get to the next section where we're refusal of truth. Look at verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It's a very short trip from replacement to rejection. Replacement of truth is the road to rejection of truth. Mark it down. To turn away means to turn oneself away, to desert. Not just, I mean, turn your back on. I had a friend in college, he used to joke, he'd say, watch, I'll get these guys in the hallway. And someone walked down the hallway, he goes, hey man, you got Jesus behind you, amen? The guy goes, hey man, he goes, yeah, it's because you turned your back on him. Okay, they walk right into that one. Fact of the matter is, a lot of people are doing that with the truth. They turn. I don't want to hear it. That's the right thing. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm refusing it. Willingly refusing it. Turning away from the truth is a dangerous thing. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being oft reproved, hearing the truth, God's truth telling him what's not right, hardeneth his neck, I don't want to hear it, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a dangerous thing. God doesn't expect you to be perfect or walk on water. Don't go on that. But God does expect you to try. God doesn't want you to reject his truth. By the way, when we reject his truth, it affects our prayers. You ready? Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, I don't want to hear it, even his prayer shall be. Now listen, this is scary. Even his prayer shall be abomination. Abomination means to hate intensely. That I remember the first time I read it several times, but it jumped out at me my Bible reading one time. I'm like, wow, think about that for a minute. And by the way, doesn't it make sense? God says, if you are committed to not listening to me, when you talk to me, I don't want to hear it. In fact, I don't even like when you do that. Now, this is someone that's rejecting, not someone that you know, it affects us. Let's hear what God says. Bible tells us, let's not quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. And then the fifth thing, in verse 5, he talks about a resolve of faithfulness. He tells Timothy, now, watch thou in all things, be vigilant here, endure afflictions, okay, there's going to be problems, this isn't going to be easy, do the work of an evangelist, get the gospel out, get people saved, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, although there will be people that may not live, just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Keep getting people saved. Keep standing for the truth. Be faithful. And by the way, that's the same for us. Let's be faithful. Let's make sure we're open to what God says. But the problem is, far too many people are not willing to listen. You hear something that maybe gets at you, maybe God spoke. You know, I've had people come up, and anybody's ever preached, this has happened. Oh, you were talking at me today. It's like, I don't even know what's going on in your life. Okay, and it's like, well, you were preaching right at me. Well, that's where the speakers are pointing your direction, right? I mean, it's not on purpose. But I'm preaching it myself too, of course. It's for all of us. And by the way, if you hear something that bothers you, as I mentioned, that's a good thing. I read things sometimes, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to read that. It bothers me. I hear someone preach, and that's just God's way of saying, fix it. Work on it. The problem is, a lot of us, we forget. Now, I'm not saying you need to memorize every truth, but when you hear something, you ought to think about it. Do we ever contemplate, say, you know what, that right there in my life, I need to work on that a little bit. Let's not forget what we're hearing. Let's listen, because the fact of the matter is, we live in times when people just don't want to listen. A couple here a few years ago, they were coming on Sundays, and they kind of liked it, and basically a guy told me, he goes, yeah, we're not coming back. He goes, I like you, the church people are nice and all that. He goes, but I just want my rock and roll church. And what was he saying? He goes, I want to hear the truth. I just want to go back over there where we can rock out, and I'll do my own thing. Well, you're not going to get that here. If you want rocks here, right outside the door here, we don't have concrete, there's rocks. You can have one. Okay? But that's the only, and you want to roll it? Go right ahead. But are you listening? Let's always listen to what God said. Let's not shut it out. We need it now more than ever. And there are so many opposing voices in this world. That's the problem. The reason we struggle, as I mentioned about Christian education on Thursday night, because we're hearing all this stuff out in the world. And you come in here and you hear something, it sounds like, oh, that cranky guy up there, he's not in touch with what's going on in our society. I'm in touch with what's going on in our society. Okay? I don't live under a rock. You know, I have a cell phone. I don't have two cans with a string. But we need to get it. God's truth. Are you open to it? Do you listen? Because that's what God wants. Let's all stand together this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for